Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
topic is staying straight. I am not qualified to speak on this topic. I could tell you about all the things that I did wrong on trying to stay straight and not staying straight so you could not do the mistakes that I made. Maybe that would help you. As Hallie said, we're not here to look down on anybody. I'm not qualified to look down on anybody. I'm not able to do that. I've made all the mistakes there are in the world. And here's where I want to start off. And this might shock you a little bit, but I think it's time to lighten up. Lighten up, would you please? Some of the brothers I see walk in here, their behind cheeks are so clenched. You could not get a greased BB back there. You know what I'm saying? I'm hard, man. I'm hard. I'm from the streets. I'm hard. Okay, oh, all right. You know, you understand it's serious. Yes, but sometimes we got to lighten up, don't tighten up. Amen? Oh, my Lord. This brother says, I know half measures don't count. Who told you that? Of course they do. If you owe me $100, follow me, and you say, here's $50 counts. I will take $50. You understand? If you owe me $100 and you say, here's $50, I'm not going to say, hey, either give me $100 or don't give me anything at all. I will say, no, I'll take the $50 now. You get the other $50 to me later. That's lovely. Halfway there is halfway there. Yes, correct. You know. We have, you know, yes, over the long run, only giving a sort of a halfway participation won't get you where you're going. That much is true, yes. But we have to walk before we run, amen? I mean, I see a lot of people talk about they're bad at walking this Christian walk, and they have problems, they ain't good at it, and I got a pass, you understand, I got an X on my back, woo, 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 this and that. That's not that you're bad at it. You're new. New is different from bad. If I say, you know, you see this guitar standing up here. If you never played a guitar before, I come strap this on you and say, now play for the people. It's going to sound terrible. Now, would you turn to that person and say, you're bad at playing guitar? No, he's just new. There's a difference. You can't say, well, you better just quit trying to do that. Because clearly you have a problem with being able to do that. That's not how that works. If you're trying to be righteous and holy for 5 minutes and discover it is against your DNA, like it is with mine, you can't be shocked by that and say, well, I got to never try that again because apparently I can't pull it off because it don't come natural to me. The Bible says it's in our nature. It's our sin nature. It's what the Bible uses that term. It means it's natural. Sinning is natural. That just the first thing that occurs to us in life is to make mistakes and to screw up. And God understands that. God understands that. I'm going to keep saying it until I get an amen. God understands that. Amen. You know what I mean? He understands. I'm not saying he excuses every little thing. I'm not trying to say you need to not be serious about doing something with the sin in your life. But the drama isn't getting the job done. The drama is not the drama. This person says, you know, he's backslid and so forth. And he says in this question, I want to let God deep into my soul. Well, go on then. You act like the sin is so powerful. Your sin is powerful. It's going to make God move away from you. You could change God's mind with the power of your sin. God made up his mind about you, and he can handle whatever it is that you've been into. He can handle it. All that drama is stuff that you're making up in your mind. Maybe God's going away. Maybe God can't stand to look at what I'm doing. Maybe God don't want to have anything to do with me. Maybe God's heart isn't toward me because you don't know what I've done. You don't know what it's about. No, those are games that you and I play in our head. That's not in the Bible. That's not what God's telling you today. He's saying, I'm here for you. I'm ready to forgive you. See, that drama is actually the enemy of consistency. And that's what we're trying to build here. We're trying to be consistent. Right? I would like to see, for some of the people in this room, they go from thug on Monday, Tuesday, way holier than me. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Fall off on Wednesday. You see what I'm saying? Jump back on it Thursday for men's Bible study. You see what I'm saying? Up, down, up, down. I would rather have somebody show up on Tuesday saying, I'm a little bit busted out, to be honest with you. And I don't know, and we'll see how it goes. How about that? That's fine. I'd rather have consistent halfway and just seeing how this thing goes and seeing where it takes us and all of that. The drama is the enemy of consistency. We need to, how can we just be solid in this thing? How can we find a way to have some peace and some stability and a good foundation underneath us? If you're a note taker, I want to give you seven quick things, to look at that keep this cycle going around. You're always going around on the second. These are my mistakes I'm telling you about, so you can learn from my mistakes. And while you're pulling out your notes on that, let's look at this first verse here. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the things that happened in the past, period, says the Bible. Do not keep on thinking about them. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams of water in the dry and empty land. That's what God says to you. You got a past. I'm not asking you to dwell on that past. I'm not asking you to pay for those things in your past. I'm not trying to get you to feel bad about those things in your past. He says, I'm doing a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in your life. There isn't anything between you and that new thing. God wants that new thing to happen. If you want it to happen, there is nothing that can stop that from happening. Amen? Okay, I'm gonna give you seven things to keep us going round and round and round. Number one, emotional overload. This is when we get to a level of emotion, all bets are off. He said this about me, and so you know I had to just, boom, right? My auntie died, so of course I had to get high. That was just one follows from the next. We give ourselves permission when the emotions get to a certain point. Well, you can't expect me to have control in that moment. If you know that that's where you're at, you have to keep those emotions in check and keep them from getting to that point. We have to know how much emotions we can handle before that switch gets flipped and we fall off. Second thing we need to look at is being physically tired. I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, I'm half as sanctified as I am when I've had a good night's sleep. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, dang, people. I get tired and ornery and angry and I look at people like, you should know, look at my face. I'm tired. I've had a long day, but people don't know. They don't respect it. So I have to keep myself from getting tired that way. That way I can be a little more consistent. Number three, and we were talking about this earlier, guilt games. No guilt games. You wallowing in that guilt. I did this bad. I did that bad. I did something else bad. I feel terrible. God's not in that. That's not helping you. So you using that to motivate you. I feel terrible. I need to go to church. God don't want you to go to church because you feel terrible. God wants you to go to church because you love God. Yeah. Okay? God wants you to go to church because it's good there and it sucks where you're at. See what I'm saying? You making yourself feel bad in order to get to something good doesn't make any sense. No more guilt games. We're not playing games with guilt. That's what's keeping us going round and round and round. All these things on the list are things that keep us going around. Number four, shame over your past. And that's what we're talking about here. You feel ashamed of things you've done. You know, some people, help us remember our past really well. They're really good about that. They got the longest memory in the whole world. They remember every little thing that you were into. Remember, we was over here and we did this and we, you know, they remember every dollar that they ever loaned to you, all of that kind of stuff. They're trying to get you to feel ashamed about who you used to be. That's going to keep you going round and round and round and round. Number five, the things that keep us on that cycle, self-pity. Poor me. Woe is me. I got it bad. You don't know. This and that. That's the sound of somebody backsliding. As soon as you say, I got it bad, maybe you're right. Maybe you deserve to complain about it. I'm not trying to make it be like that. But when you start feeling sorry for yourself, that's when, oh boy, we're in danger. We're in danger here. If you have problems with alcohol or drug abuse, self-pity, that's just poison for you. That's like grease in the chute that you're going to backslide on, okay? Number six out of seven things that keep us on this cycle is a fear of the future. We're afraid of the things that happen in the future. We're afraid of failure. You know what else we get afraid of? We get afraid of things that are uncomfortable to us. We don't go places we've never been. We don't be around things, whatever it is. We don't go new, uncomfortable situations or whatever. So we let fear hold us back. And the final thing is our wounded pride. You know, sometimes we build ourselves up to thinking I'm doing good now, right? Instead of thinking I'm a sinner, and for a sinner, this is pretty impressive. Those are two different ways of looking at it. You follow me? You start saying, I think I'm actually quite holy now. Then you backslide off of that. Now your pride's hurt. See? Now you can't go back to church because they've seen you be drunk on the corner. And now it's you because of your pride. You follow what I'm saying? I'm telling you, people, I'm a sinner now. If you see me sin, I'm not going to be, later this week, I'm not going to be ashamed to come to church because you already been told. You see what I'm saying? You've been informed who you're looking at. You hear me cuss when something falls on my toe, I'm going to say, well, I already told you about that. I'm not going to go running out of the building because I can't handle the embarrassment. Do you follow what I'm saying? My pride's not up in this. I'm going to leave that to the side. I can't afford it. I don't behave good enough to have pride. So, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives away fear. That's because fear has to do with being punished. He says, the one who fears does not have perfect love. And what he means by perfect there is full and complete love. This is someone who is afraid because they think some punishment's trying to come for them. But he says, if you know that God loves you, you're not afraid that he's looking to punish you. You're not doing things out of fear. You're not motivated by fear. Fear isn't the thing that's driving you. The thing that's driving you is the love. Amen? Good. Well, we love you. And that's my time.